It was while preaching the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus proclaimed that you are the salt of the earth. We're going to talk about salt a little bit today. On the simplest level of Christ's words in Matthew 5:13, he's talking about the flavor of salt. There's some other things there that we're going to talk about today. But primarily, he talks about the flavor, and we'll get into more of that in detail. He's telling us that as Christians, you and I are the salt of the earth, the disciples of him. He was talking to his disciples at that time, and he's been talking to his disciples through time because it's recorded for us to see. But he's telling us that we are the salt of the earth. We are the flavor to flavor the earth. We're the flavor of God in this world. This world that this week had another mass shooting and other trials and tribulations around this earth. We are the salt that is supposed to add God's flavor to this earth at this time. You know, salt has been used for as long as anybody can remember, right, in history. Throughout history, you see where salt has been used. Salt has been used as a seasoning agent. It has been used as a preservative to preserve food. And is also commonly used in religious rites by the Greeks and the Romans and Hebrews and Christians. It represents something to everyone. Here's a number of facts that I came across when I was preparing my message for this morning. I learned a few things that I hadn't heard before. A lot of these are related around religious things, but it was important that we understand all the uses of salt. Because at one point, it was actually used for money and currency. It was used for a medium of exchange for many commercial ventures anywhere around the Middle East and the Mediterranean, around the Aegean Sea, and even in places like Ethiopia and Tibet. It was actually made into small little cakes and used as money to pay for things. That's how valuable it was at certain times. You know, the English term salary, the things, you know, we get paid a salary when we go to work. The English term was actually derived from the word salarium, the Latin term referring to the salt allotment that was given to the Roman soldiers. And basically what their job was to guard the roads that were salt roads. Roads that they used salt on, and they were paid money. The salt was used as money to pay these soldiers, and that's where the term salary was. They were paid a salarium, basically. Covenants, both in the Old and New Testaments, were often sealed with salt. This was something that I hadn't really thought of. I mean, I know the scriptures are there, and we've read through them, but we kind of breeze through them sometimes and not really pay attention. But salt was used as a covenant. The origin of the word salvation actually can find part of its root in salt, because it has the act of preserving, or the state of being preserved from harm. In the Catholic Church, salt sometimes is used for a variety of reasons, but one of them is when they baptize a baby, they put a little salt on their mouth. How many of you have seen the Leonardo da Vinci. I have to get my Italian on. In his painting of the Last Supper, have you ever noticed that where Judas was sitting, he had spilled some salt? This is where the superstitions come from about spilling salt. That's why they pick it up and throw it over their shoulder to do away with evil spirits. To this day, the tradition endures that someone who spills salt should pinch it and throw it over his shoulder. Even the Buddhists do this. It is their tradition. And that is why we see sometimes it became a thing. If you go to a funeral and when you come back to your house, you throw salt over your shoulder to get onto the evil spirits that might be attached to your back. The Shinto religion uses salt to purify an area. You know, if we've seen sumo wrestling, this is actually used to be a religious rite. And someone would take a handful of salt and throw it in the ring to purify the ring. And then the wrestlers would get in and wrestle, or whatever they call that. I wouldn't call it wrestling. A couple of guys in underwear bumping into each other. But it was a religious rite. It's amazing. Even in the Southwest, in the United States, the Pueblo Indians worshiped the Salt Mother. I didn't look into what that was, but you know, our native tribes had a lot of significant restrictions about eating salt. The Hopi legend holds that there was an angry warrior that took all the salt and scattered it all over the wilderness so that it wasn't so easy to get. It was making it more valuable. It was a very precious mineral. In 1933, when the Dalai Lama died, he was buried in a table or a bed of salt, sitting upright. Today, the gift of salt endures in India as a potent symbol of good luck. You know, none of these religious things are part of our faith. But salt is used in Christ's description of us being the salt of the earth. Salt is a lasting symbol because it can protect food from putrefying and it preserves and makes things unchanged. You know, I've been familiar with the preservation aspects of salt for my whole life. As I used to go see my granddad in his butcher shop. And when he got done skinning a cow, they would lay all the hides in this kind of a pit over here, and it was salted down because they would get a number of hides stacked up there before the guy that came around and collected those hides. And they didn't have room in the refrigerator. And besides refrigerating, that kind of tends to break down some of the sinews and things that they need in the leather when they get ready to tan the hide. So they preserved it with salt because it keeps it in the state it was in, basically. It dries it out some, but it keeps it to where it's supposed to, where they could use it. So going back to Matthew 5 and verse 13, Jesus Christ, during the Sermon on the Mount, and as you'll remember, this is just shortly after he's talked about the Beatitudes, he says, "You are the salt of the earth," Matthew 5:13. "But as the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It then is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Christ was speaking to his disciples here, as we mentioned, and it is meant for us as well, because we are disciples of Christ. In Luke 14:34, the parallel to this scripture in Matthew 14:34 says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land nor the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears, let him hear." You know, when Jesus uses that phrase, "he who has ears, let him hear," you think he wants us to hear that? Yes, he definitely wants us to hear. He wants us to pay close attention because it is important for us to learn. So as we read the scripture and it talks about the salt losing its flavor and it's worthless when it does that, we need to pay attention because he just got done calling us the salt of the earth. You know, I know this is a very familiar message. I was actually going to talk about Psalm 15 today, but then someone reminded me that Mr. Kubik just covered that at the feast and felt like we'd give it a little more time before we go into that some more. So I asked Debbie for some help, and she said she'd been listening to some ABC classes online and doing a little study on her own, and she said, "We need another salt sermon." And I've got a few little different things in this, but we've heard this many, many times. But let's not forget, Christ said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And we should never forget this, because it's a very, very important description of who we are and what we should be like and what we should be doing. So we're going to be reminded of this symbolism as we use Christ's statement here regarding salt. He calls us his disciples, and he says we are the salt of the earth. Now, most scientists will say that the reason salt can lose its flavor is because it gets mixed with other chemicals. Now, use that as an analogy for us. We are not to become diluted and lose our flavor. How is it that we can become so diluted? Well, we are in this world, right? There's all this other mass of chemicals out there, bad chemicals, things that are not good. And we can begin to absorb those things. And as the scientists will tell you, if salt collects too many other minerals, it loses its flavor. Did you know that there was a covenant of salt? Again, as I mentioned this earlier, this is something that's kind of new to me. But salt had a deeper meaning to the people in Christ's day when Christ was speaking to these people in the Sermon on the Mount. Many of the things that the Hebrews and the Jewish people kept with them all the time was some salt, some bread, and some wine. These were their staples. I like those staples. A little bread and wine, a little olive oil, a little salt. Those were some good things. So he knew that they would understand what he was talking about when he referenced salt and the uses that it had. Salt is a symbol of purity. You and I are to become pure. Numbers 18, and you don't need to turn there because I'm kind of going to just rush through this, but it tells of God giving the tribe of Levi to the Israelites for their priesthood. And you can write these down, but it's Numbers chapter 18, and in verses 23 and 24, he tells us that the Levites have no inheritance because they were set apart to receive the offerings. And verse 19 explains how the Levites were supported. All of the heave offerings and the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Leviticus 2:13 shows every offering was required to have salt. Leviticus 2:13. In every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With you in your offerings, you shall offer salt. As I said, I didn't know this. I never read this before. So what's the meaning of that? Why is that done? You know, salt was a symbol of an unbreakable covenant. A covenant of salt between God and man was to never be broken. So during their offerings, they used salt. And we'll get into what that can represent here in a few minutes. But can you imagine eating your eggs for breakfast without salt? They just wouldn't taste right. They're just a little bland, right? And I know, and I realize that some of us have limitations on salt and how much we can intake. And the reason for that is because there's so much salt in everything that we eat and all the foods that we get that it creates an unbalance in our systems and causes our blood pressure to go up. So salt can be a bad thing. Now keep that in the back of your mind because we're going to talk about that a little bit. Too much salt can harm us. Just like if we're too strong of a salt, we can harm what we're supposed to be doing. We can make it worse. But can you imagine not having salt altogether? I love a little salt on my nice juicy steak. Have you ever had oatmeal without salt? I remember my mom always putting a little salt in the oatmeal when she boils it. It keeps it from sticking together and gumming up, but it also gives it just that little bit of flavor. Salt adds so much to our lives, and especially when it's used properly. You know, even ranchers and farmers understand the value of salt because they put it out for their animals, because animals need it too. I'm not going to get into a lot of the health reasons for why we need salt, but believe me, the doctors will use saline solutions sometimes if they don't have the proper blood to keep you alive when maybe you need a transfusion, and the saline will keep you alive long enough until they can get what they need. And that's because of what it does and what it serves in the body. Mark 9:50. Turn to Mark 9. Mark 9 and verse 50 says, "Salt is good. Again, but if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." It's another parallel to the previous scriptures, but it also gives us another use that we as salt, how we should be. Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6, talking about speech and how we communicate with one another. It says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." It's kind of like, okay, when somebody asks a question and you want to answer it, do you dump a whole bucket of salt on them or you just sprinkle a little bit out there? What happens when you put too much? Again, we talked about that. If you look at the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, it notes that seasoned with salt means to savor the savor of fresh and lively spiritual wisdom and earnestness, excluding all corrupt communication. again, too much salt can corrupt. It can kill. But seasoned. So when we're talking and communicating with one another, our communication should be just seasoned with salt. Because it is the lively spiritual wisdom that we are sharing. Just some examples again of salt's characteristics. Salt is a symbol of purity. We are to become pure as salt adds enjoyment to our lives, as we mentioned. A little salt on a good steak is really good. Now, I never salt mine until I've actually tasted it because I don't want to insult the chef, but he may have already got it seasoned the way he thinks it's really good. Especially when I go to Mr. Thompson's house, I want to taste it first. He makes a really good steak, but sometimes it needs just a little more flavor. But God allows that to be something that we can enjoy. Salt is intended to jazz up the flavor in our food. And that's its intention. So tie that in with who we are, the salt of the earth. We're supposed to make things better, taste better. And salt is a preservative, again, as we've mentioned. We are the salt of the earth. We are to preserve God's truth. We are to keep God's truth and to share God's truth in small amounts. But we are, as a preservative, we preserve God's truth. Salt is also used as a seasoning. We must have that seasoning or that zest for God's way of life. We must continually live that way. Never let God's way of life become so humdrum with us that we lose our flavor. We lose that savor and we become bad salt. All those animal sacrifices that we can see in Leviticus where salt was used has a very good representation of who we are and what we are to do. Because as all of those sacrifices pointed to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, that He is the sacrifice for all of us, we are the salt. We are to cling to that sacrifice. We are sprinkled on that sacrifice and we are to hang on. Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, and we, the salt. It's wonderful to understand these symbolisms and to wrap these things in our mind and think about them. What Christ did for us and who we are in relationship to that. So when you pick up your salt shaker each day on your table and you sprinkle a little on there, think about these things. When you're putting a little salt in your food and putting just enough, because we know what happens when we get too much, it doesn't taste as good. Just the right amount can make it taste better. When we are true to being the people of God that we are supposed to be, Jesus Christ's disciples, who we are, and when we are the true to His calling and what He's asked us to do and the work that He's given us to do, we bring out the essence of Him by representing Him to others. And that's what salt is supposed to do. It brings out the essence of flavor in our food. Yet this requires purity on our part. Salt is a representation of purity. You and I are supposed to be becoming pure. We cannot be the salt of the earth unless we draw near to God and allow Him to draw near to us and give us the wisdom, give us the understanding that He has for us. We are to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are to cling to Him, as we mentioned. We are to draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. Jot down Hebrews 10, verse 22. We must rid ourselves of all the interferences that are in our lives as we live in this world. We have to show our love to God and follow the commands that He's given us. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world." Because if we do, we lose our flavor, as we mentioned. As we mix ourselves more and more and more into this world and we get diluted to the point when we no longer have the flavor, the savoriness of salt and what is it supposed to do. We must separate ourselves from all worldly desires and keep from losing our flavor. There's some traits that I want to run through, and we've already talked about a number of traits in salt, but let's talk about some things that maybe we need to be reminded of. There are five things that I want to mention here. if we're going to be the good salt of the earth, the first thing is, what does salt do when we eat it? It makes us thirsty, right? So if we're the salt of the earth and we are living the way we're supposed to live, the verse right after this verse talks about we are the light of the world. And if we're living correctly as the salt, and salt we're supposed to be, we become lights to the world, and the world looks at us, and then they become thirsty. They are thirsty for what we have. They want to know why, what does this person possess? What do they have that I need? Well, we have the water of life. We represent the water of life, Jesus Christ. Nothing ever brings us down if we're the true salt and the lights of the world. And when we do this, people notice and they want what we have. It makes them thirsty for what we have. It makes them thirsty for God. The second thing is, salt is good seasoning. You know, for a lot of years when I cook my steaks or whatever, I'd put every kind of seasoning on there you could think of to add flavor to it. You know what, most recently I mostly just put a little bit of salt and pepper and maybe a little garlic on it. And sometimes that's the best steak in the world. And it's the salt that brings out and enhances that flavor. Salt is good seasoning. Sometimes it's all you need. Even though salt is very, very small, right? Those little tiny grains. Of course, crystals can be bigger sizes. But as we use it, and we maybe use something, we use sea salt and it's in the bigger chunks, and we use a little grinder to grind it on. Those little pieces get very, very tiny and almost insignificant, right? We as the salt of the world can sometimes feel that way. We can feel very insignificant. And we must be reminded at times that how important we are. Obviously, we shouldn't be proud, and we should be humble. And that's what salt represents, that humility. It's so tiny, and yet it has such great power to season this entire world. When it seems like that we are insignificant and worthless and are not accomplishing anything, we must remember and we must be reminded that we are God's children. And our life does make a difference. I mean, think about the aspect that we're talking about. We're talking about being the salt of this earth, a big place. And it's because we are this salt and all those that have gone before and those that will come after. The salt of this earth, to preserve God's Word and to actually be the preservation of this world. But only because we are clinging to Jesus Christ and following God the Father. Salt is that great preservative. Again, in biblical times and years not so long ago, salt was used to preserve food. And oftentimes we have methods of doing that as well. It keeps the perishables from perishing. You and I are perishables. The world is perishable, but because we're here, we're helping save that world, this world. Salt is used in purification. I didn't write a lot of these down because for time's sake, but there are a number of ways salt was used to cleanse. And I know it's painful, but sometimes salt can be used to heal wounds. So salt is very important when it comes to purification. And then the fifth one, salt is a symbol of friendship or a relationship. Salt is a symbol of a friendship or a relationship. As we saw earlier, salt is seen in the covenant relationship that we have with God our Father and Jesus Christ, our older brother. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. In Numbers 18 and verse 19. So what was Jesus driving at when he used this phrase in Matthew 5:13? Why did he make this point? Well, I believe it reflects an ongoing responsibility of the Christian disciple. Just enough salt can do wonderful things. Too much salt can kill. So in Matthew 5:13 has been the main focus of what we're talking about today. And again, Christ said, and let's read it again, Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know what tone of voice Christ was using, but it wasn't very often that he got stern. He mostly he spoke normally, but at times he did. I mean, he did throw the tables over in the temple. But I can imagine that he's warning the disciples here. You are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your flavor, because if you do, you're going to be thrown out. That's how important this statement is. In ancient times, as we've seen, salt was needed. It was a necessity. And I believe, and I know it still is today. We all must have salt to live. Because of its seasoning, because of its preservation qualities, preservative qualities, and it was one of the most highly prized minerals, as we mentioned earlier. It was used for money. So salt was important, especially in that day when Christ was speaking to these people. But it is an understanding that it lived through the ages, just like everything in the Bible does. Salt was important. So let's recap just quickly. Salt makes you thirsty. And as we represent God, it makes the world thirsty for Him. Salt is to use to be seasoning. Salt is to preserve the truth for eternal life. Salt is to purify. And salt is to establish a relationship with God our Father. In other words, salt changes things. A little salt can flavor a nice big pot of beans. And if we look at this world as this nice big pot of beans and probably some pretty crazy beans, we are that salt that seasons it just right. It only takes a few salty Christians to flavor a whole community. And it only takes a few salty Christians to flavor a whole city. It takes only a few salty Christians to flavor a neighborhood. And it only takes a few salty Christians to flavor this entire earth, this entire world. You see, we must never forget what Christ's statement was about in being the salt of the earth. The more diluted it becomes, the more worthless it becomes, the less effective it is. And if we allow ourselves to be diluted by this world and the things of this world, and become more interested in the world than we are in being who we're supposed to be, we become diluted and we lose our flavor. You know, there is another concern that we can have that Christ has, and I, you know, personally, salt can't just sit on the table in a salt shaker and be a decoration. It has to be used. It has to be shaken out a little bit. If salt never leaves the salt shaker, it's no good. So that means there's some action that we have to take. We have to be about the work that God has given us, and we have to do it in such a way as just to sprinkle that salt just as we're supposed to. Not to kill, but to season, to flavor, to preserve, and to make pure. To deny the salt function is to deny the very principles of the kingdom of God. You'll remember right before he stated that salt, we are the salt, he gave a whole list of 10 verses of blessed, the Beatitudes. One of them is, blessed are those who thirst after righteousness. And we are the ones that are hopefully making this world thirst after that righteousness. It is our job. It's who we're supposed to be. Jesus said, you are the salt. So it is imperative that we also note that Jesus did not say, we are the earth. He said, we are the salt. We are either the salt or we are the world. There's only two choices. You know, I know that we have many, many choices in our lives, but it really comes down that there's two things. We are either being in the family of God, destined to be in His kingdom, or we are the world. I say, let's be the salt.